Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I've talked my way out of that issue, sinus issue or whatever, so I think now we can move right along. I do appreciate Cheryl tonight working in the sound booth. That lady wears more hats in this church. We appreciate her. She volunteers for anything, and I appreciate Cheryl Crater. She does a bang-up job on our newsletter. I get all kinds of good compliments on the quality of that newsletter. She sings regularly in the choir, and then now tonight she's perched up back there. I can just see the top of her head. I need to put sunglasses on that glare of that golden girl back there. All righty, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to, this evening, basically what I'm going to do is just do a lesson, a study. And when I raise my voice every now and then, y'all can say, well, now he's preaching. And that'll, you know, that'll make it go better, okay? I'll try to voice inflection, you know, use that. And so I'll try not to keep it real monotone. This is a, we're teaching the Bible tonight, folks. So I guess everybody knows me well enough by now to know that I'd have a hard time being monotone anyway. The Bible is too exciting of a book to be too monotone about, isn't it? All right, let me begin reading chapter 2. And I'll just go ahead and read just a few verses and stop. And then what I'm going to do this evening is to give you just a little bit of the background of the book of 2 Timothy. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will help us to understand a little bit better how important this great book is. So I'll begin reading chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, and that's Timothy, of course, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Actually, what I'm going to do is pause right there with reading, but I do want us to pray. Father, bless the study tonight of the Word of God. We do pray, Heavenly Father, for the prayer requests that have been shared, some of them tonight, praise reports, and how glad we are to hear about Brother HB, the good report there. And, Lord, we just, we thank you for the success in the surgery, for Kay, who's now home, and then, Lord, for Bobby, who's doing so very well after his knee surgery. And we ask your blessings, Lord, upon each of them. Now, Father in heaven, I do pray for Sister Virginia. You'll continue to bless her with comfort, encourage the family. And our Father, now meet with us this evening as we open the most important, precious book in all the world, the Word of God. Bless us now as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be reading other verses in just a few moments, but I think a good note to start on would be the truth of verse number 1 of chapter 2, where Paul tells Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then actually, in this chapter, he lays out some ways that Timothy can be strengthened. He actually gives the solution and gives the words that would help Timothy to understand how he can be strengthened. Now, to give you just a brief background of 2 Timothy, as far as introduction, I would begin tonight by mentioning that 2 Timothy has been considered Paul's swan song. His swan song, his final words are in 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy. It's his swan song. It's the book that was written not too long before he would be martyred, before he would be taken to heaven. His ministry would be over. His time upon this earth would be through, and he would be promoted to glory. So it's considered his swan song. He gives, you might say, some final words. As he writes to young Timothy, he gives some final words of advice to Timothy, but yet he lays out the burden of his heart concerning God's blessing, God's direction, and things that Timothy needed to know and we need to read about. Now, the book itself is a challenge to Timothy to stand in the face of the difficulties. The Apostle Paul would make it clear to Timothy that he certainly could expect difficulties. There would be problems, there would be troubles, there would be issues coming up, there would be pressures, temptations, and things that would require Timothy to be strong. So he needed to hear the words, be strong, in light of what he was about to face. He needed to hear those words, be strong. You and I tonight need to hear those words, be strong. In light of what we face, in light of what we've come through, in light of what we're dealing with, every person tonight needs to hear those words, and of course, directed especially to the people of God, be strong. The book itself, 2 Timothy, was written shortly before Paul's death. His death occurred somewhere around 66 A.D. And he writes as one who is a prisoner. A prisoner. In fact, he writes this book while he is incarcerated. Now, to prove my point, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 8, he says this. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." He uses the word prisoner, his prisoner. Then also, chapter 1, the same chapter, and in verse number 16, he says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." My chain. So he writes as one who is a prisoner. So the purpose of 2 Timothy was to encourage young Timothy. It kind of reads like a pep talk. You read 2 Timothy, you kind of get the impression of like, for example, let's imagine now a coach lines his team up before they're about to play the game, and the coach gives them a pep talk. He primes their pump. He challenges them. He tells them to get out there and win. So 2 Timothy is somewhat of a pep talk. And look at chapter 2, verse number 3, and you sort of get that. All right, look at verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Endure hardness, giving him a word of challenge. And also, too, Paul writes to Timothy with a burden to see Timothy. He wants to see his young convert. He wants to see young Timothy. He's lonely. He's missing companionship. And he wants to spend some time with Timothy. So he writes this letter not only as a pep talk, but also sharing his sentiment of his desire to see Timothy. In fact, if you look at chapter 4, and verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9, he said, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." So that would indicate it. That would show his desire. Now, in chapter 2, we could give it somewhat of an outline. For example, as Paul writes to Timothy, he gives him a call to service. And he addresses Timothy with titles that would indicate service. He mentions different titles that Timothy would be wearing. He lets Timothy know that he's not just a child of God, but he has titles. And the titles themselves convey the idea of service. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll look at the verses in just a moment. But Timothy is called a son. He's called a soldier, or referenced as a soldier. He's referenced as an athlete. He's referenced as a farmer, and he's referenced as a worker or as a workman. So those particular job titles convey service. Every single one of those positions convey activity, convey doing something, convey service, convey ministry. So let me show this to you. He's called a son. Verse one. Thou therefore my son. So he's called a son, and as a son, he's to be strong. To be strong. You know, God is pleased tonight when his people are strong. He wants us strong. He doesn't want us weak. He wants us strong. He doesn't want us just barely with spiritual energy enough to get along. He wants us to be energized, to be strong, because after all, we're more than a conqueror. And throughout Scripture, we understand that God would have us to be strong Christians. So he said, be strong. Now, I would like to point out, since this is using a teaching approach here tonight, I would like to point out tonight that the words be strong is in what is called a present imperative, which implies continued growth. That's what it's about. In other words, Timothy, be strong, but keep being strong. Have continual growth. Don't just be strong today and then be weak tomorrow and then be strong today, the day after tomorrow. But no, the idea when he says be strong, the language that's used is implying a continued growth. Then now, look at verse 2. The things that thou hast heard of me. Now that's simply this. The things that Timothy has been taught by Paul. The things that Paul has given Timothy. Nurture. Teaching. Instruction. Growth. Example setting. What's Timothy to do with it? Is he to bury it? Is he to hide it under a bushel basket? Is he to just keep it to himself? And with the attitude, let others get it their way? Is Paul telling Timothy, what I'm giving you in terms of instruction, you just keep it yourself. Just be thankful that God's blessing you. And let other people get strong on their own. Or get nurtured on their own. In other words, let other Christians, let them manage, take care of, and get their resources on their own. Okay, where am I going with this? Well, I haven't read the last part of that verse, have I? And when I do, you'll know where I'm going with it. All right, go back now to that verse. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So now here's the point. Paul is telling Timothy, take what I've taught you, take the example that I've given you, take the things that you've learned, and pass it on. Pass it on. Be a conduit pipe. Don't let your spirituality become moldy. Don't wither on the vine, praising God every day you're going to heaven and thanking God for your spiritual growth. No, pass it on. Commit it to others who can teach others also. In other words, what I have taught you, Timothy, you take that and run with it. Now, we can argue it this way. We can say, well, the buck may stop here. Or some people have the attitude, I'm a leader, blah, blah, blah. The buck stops here. Or that can be applied in other ways. Well, the buck may stop here, but the truth doesn't. That's the point being made. The truth doesn't stop here. The truth is to be given out by others that hear the truth. Every one of you tonight and every person listening to me that names the name of Jesus Christ, you and me, you and myself have been mandated to take what we've been taught, the blessings that we're enjoying, and pass them on to others. Give out what we've received. Be a conduit pipe. Be like the little guy, the little lad in the book of John, that Jesus took his lunch and fed the multitude. But how did he feed the multitude? He used hands to pass out the food, didn't he? Multiplied his hands, but he used the hands of his disciples to pass it out. That's what we are. We're hands passing it out. The multiplication, the blessings come from God himself, but we simply pass it on. Paul's telling Timothy, take what I've given you and pass it on. Amen? Amen. That's right. That's what it says right there. Commit thou to faithful men. Christians quit growing when they get to the place in their life to where they think what they got is just theirs. That's when growth gets stymied, gets hurt. It's when we have that attitude, what I've got is mine, rather than pass it on. Witnessing, teaching, instruction, setting example, more and more, different other ways. So now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, it's a call to service and do it as a son. He's a son. Timothy, my son. All right, secondly, not only do that as a son, but, excuse me, as a soldier. All right, look at verse 3. We are sons of God through salvation, but we're soldiers too. Verse 3, thou therefore, when you see therefore, check it out, see what it's there for, right? In light of what's already been said, verses 1 and 2. You're a child of God. You've been given resources. I've taught you, Timothy. You've been given what you need. And so that the therefore relates to that. It relates to verses 1 and 2. He has the fuel. He has the ammunition. He has what it takes to be a soldier. He's saved. He's a son of God. But Paul's son also too, in the sense that Paul was his spiritual father. So now look at it again though. All right, verse 3. Thou therefore, because you have been blessed as a recipient of these things, endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. You got to be tough to be a soldier. Every military person tonight knows that, and every non-military person knows that, because you've been around soldiers. You've had them in your family. You know what military service is all about. It's about training, discipline, hardship, sacrifice, and so forth. And so, as Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. So I can say tonight to all of us, myself included, we're a son, but we're also to be a soldier. That tells us a lot of things. That tells us that the Christian life is not an easy thing. It tells us it requires a lot of discipline. It tells us it requires command. It requires our falling in line, being lockstep with the commander, because he is the commander that calls the shots. He says, walk, and we say, what way, Lord? And so now look at the verse though. Let me read a little bit further. Let's study this thing about soldiering just a little bit. And by the way, it applies to every one of us. That's true. We're all Christian soldiers, aren't we? Look at verse 3. Endure hardness as a soldier. Good soldier, right? Not just a soldier. One thing to be a soldier is another thing to be a good soldier. I've been around people that are just soldiers, but I've been around a ton of people that are good soldiers. You know, just a soldier is just the person that just does the very least they can do. Or they'll dodge assignments. Or they are guilty of maybe disobeying some orders. or they just don't invest themselves in training up. They don't take advantage of training up opportunities, of getting better. They don't read the soldier's manual and study it enough. You see, it's one thing to be a soldier, another thing to be a good soldier. There are some that are mediocre, that'll dodge every assignment. Of course, most of us in the military learned is one thing you don't do is you don't volunteer, that's for sure. You volunteer, you can wind up in trouble, can't you, Larry? You're better off just to keep your mouth shut, but always do what you're told to do, right, Brother Paul? Did you ever get into any trouble as a Marine, Paul? Brother Paul, preacher's talking to you, brother. Did you ever get into any trouble as a Marine for not being a good Marine or for disobeying anybody? Did you ever do that? Did y'all hear the man? Said it before all these witnesses tonight. And guess what? Me too. Boy, did I ever mess up many, many times. One time, my platoon sergeant told me to take a broom and, my problem was I got tangled up in the Army too, and I was a Marine. Started out as a Marine, then become a soldier in the Army. A squad bay, that's what it was, yeah. Yeah, he said, clean the squad bay. And I was an old unsaved brute anyway. I didn't care about anything. And I basically told him where to get off. Didn't go over too well. Next thing I knew, what I was wearing on my shoulder reduced in size. Then I had some buddies they thought that was funny. I was standing before the commander. I was standing at attention. And he was taking one of my stripes off of me. I mean, you didn't snap back. I mean, you obeyed your orders in the Marine Corps. I'll tell you that much right now. Army, too. Of course, all branches of service. And so here I was miserably standing before the company commander, having a stripe taken from me because I disobeyed a lawful order on the part of an NCO, and I had a couple buddies walk by the door that was open on the outside. They thought that was so funny. They added to my misery. They were laughing at me while I was being demoted. But praise the Lord, I'm not going to leave you all hanging. That was pre-salvation, though. Get that in your head, right? Pre-salvation. When God saved me, it didn't take me long to get that rank back. And then by the time I got out of the Marine Corps, the old gunny sergeant, I saw him down here in Winston-Salem. I was in a unit in Lynchburg. And I saw him all the way down here. I don't know what he was doing down here in Winston-Salem. I run into him. I was a Marine Reservist at that time. And he come up to me and he said, how about staying in the Marine Corps? He said, I'll give you another rank. And let me tell you folks something. I literally at that point in time in my life, I had other things on my mind besides the Marine Corps. I'd given him 6 years and I was a student in Bible college then. Carol and I got married in 1970. And plus two, I had a bad taste in my mouth through the military. I honestly did. I got off to a bad start, folks. But yet I still left in good stead, honorable discharge and all that good stuff. And then later on, my goodness, y'all know the rest of the story. I got back in the military and then the rest was history. Amazing how God can turn a person's attitude totally around. And after that, by the grace of God, I got a few more. And God, to God be the glory. Amen. I got a few more stripes considerably higher than what I had when I got out of the Marine Corps. And that was because the Lord had a plan. And I just had to be the vessel. And He's God's the one that gave me the ministry that I wound up having in the military. He gets all of the glory for it. If it had been based on my old bad attitude as a poor soldier, I tell you one thing, it would have been disastrous. The Lord hadn't come into my life and turned things around. Y'all don't know me. Y'all wouldn't want to know me before I got saved. And I'm certainly not one of those preachers or anybody that gets up and brags about the past. I don't have anything to be proud of. I was an accident looking for a place to happen. That's what I was. But praise the Lord. And then, not only literal soldiering, God taught me how to do that better too. But since then, a soldier of the cross. And that's been my greatest joy. And I'll tell you, folks, you already know this, but being a soldier of the cross is not easy. Battles, conflicts, and so forth. But God is still good.
Amen.
So he tells Timothy, calls him a son. That means serve the Lord. He lets him know he's a soldier. And then, I want you to note something. I'm not quite through with this thing of talking about a soldier quite yet. Because in verse 3, let me read it now. Thou therefore endure hardness, toughen up, in other words. We got to toughen up to be in this business. We got to toughen up to be a Christian. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We report to him. He's our commander. But now, verse 4 is soldiering talk too. No man that warreth. What's soldiering all about? It's about warring. You know, you're trained up to break things and kill people. Literally. That's what the military is trained for, break things and kill people. Trained to kill the enemy, right? And that's what you do. So now, what's some good advice he says here? No man that warreth as a soldier entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. In the military, we call that fraternization. They had a code of ethics in the military, the NCO Corps, the officer corps. They did their own thing. You didn't fraternize. You didn't fraternize with female troops. You definitely wouldn't fraternize with any enemy. You would never be guilty short of prison time with ever fraternizing with the enemy, abetting the enemy, aiding and abetting the enemy, which is what our president does. Excuse me, Mr. President, I didn't mean to get on you again, but you make me mad how you don't like my country. But anyway, you don't fraternize with the enemy. And that's what Paul's saying there. He said this. He said, no man at war entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we cannot fraternize with the world. We can't buddy-buddy with the world. We've got to take a clean break. When you go into military, first thing you do in boot camp is you get rid of all of your civilian clothing. You send it home. They give you a shower, literally. Remember that, Paul? They send you through a shower at Paris Island. You put all of your civilian clothes in a bag. They put you in a shower. They want you to get clean washed of civilian life. Because now you belong to Uncle Sam. They're going to mold you. They're going to train you. You don't even think of home any more than you have to. And so a Christian is not to fraternize with the world any longer. What we gave up is not worth reclaiming. When God delivered us, we don't need what we had in the past. We don't need it. Anytime any Christian's ever looked given second thoughts to the life before salvation and slid back, they slid back as one of the most miserable people you'll ever find. Some of the most miserable Christians you'll ever find are people that are trying to hobnob with the world and the old life and the things of this world. You'll never be happy. You may as well just accept it. You'll never be happy. And you know why you can't be happy? You can't please God and the world at the same time. Because it says here in that verse there, but please him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. We got to focus now on pleasing our commander, pleasing our Lord, not pleasing our old companions, not pleasing the old world, not pleasing or complimenting the old ways of life. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that says it all, doesn't it? So Timothy, I want you now to listen up. You're a son. So as a son of God, I want you now to be strong. And then Timothy, as a soldier, I want you to endure hardness, avoid fraternization, and serve to please your commander. That's what it tells him. So you see, 2 Timothy is a book written by Paul to encourage his young convert. And then I'll be through with this one. And so, Sister Lisa, next Wednesday night, same title, another, just a plain old Bible study. If you want to stick the word another in front of it, that'll be fine, whatever. People don't come to church because of a title anyway, do they? They come because they want to hear the word of God. So, you know, if we call it a sermon or a lesson, whatever you want to call it, just help yourself. Call anything. We're here to hear the Bible. We taught the Bible, right? So now, all right, verse 5. Let me show you something. Verse number 5. If any man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. So you know what the idea here is? The idea that Timothy is an athlete. He's a son, he's a soldier, and he's kind of given an athletic role. Where it talks about, verse number 5, striving for masteries. Kind of reminds you of a person that's running a foot race. You strive to win. Or whatever the athletic event might be, or whatever the athletic role might be, you strive to win. You strive to go for the goal. That's what athletes do. They train up. You know, a true athlete never quits training up. They're always attempting to defeat their former records. They never can be complacent and satisfied. If a medalist wins a silver medal, they want to go for the gold medal. If they win a gold medal, they want to go for another gold medal. It's constantly training up. If you were to interview any of the athletes that are in the Olympics, whatever venue of athletic event they may be in, every single one of them will tell you that it's an ongoing training thing. They never quit training, and they do not accept a medal as their final medal. So Paul tells Timothy, go at Christian service like an athlete. Keep striving for the masteries. Timothy, go for the goal. Go for the goal. Don't be mediocre. The attitude here with that athlete scenario is never be mediocre as a Christian. Go for the goal. Be the best. I press for the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That should be the truth of every Christian. I tell you, there's one thing I have never apologized when it comes to preaching and talking to Christian people. I've never apologized for telling every person who is saved that every single one of us equally should be striving to be the best. Every one of us should be going for the goal. This is not a preacher thing. This is not a deacon thing. This is a Christian thing. We should never be satisfied with how much scripture we know. We ought to be wanting to learn more. We should never be satisfied with our prayer life. We should never be satisfied with our work within the local church. We ought to be pressing for more. We ought to be driving for the goal. We should never be guilty of mediocrity as a Christian. The athlete figure says, don't be mediocre, Timothy. Look at that verse, please. Strive for the masteries. Yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And boy, if that isn't important. That's really important there. Timothy, go for the goal, but keep the rules. Go for the goal, but keep the rules. You know, we serve God according to rules, don't we? We don't make up our rules as we go. We have standards of conduct. We have character. We do things within the church decently and in order. I mean, really, when you stop and think about it, you could start looking through the Bible, and you could find many Bible texts to prove the fact that there are rules concerning the Christian life. Would you call a command a rule? You find several commands for the Christian, don't you? What about this? The new command that I give you, that you love one another. Okay, do you know that's being a good rule keeper, loving people as a Christian, loving one another. I'm in the process now putting together a little paper, and I'm kind of approaching it looking at this point. You know, when it comes to attitude towards others, we either love, like, or tolerate. You know that? We either love, like, or tolerate. Sometimes we truly are practicing agape love. Love one another as I have loved you. That really is reaching the crest of a good Christian attitude, to be able to love people, you know, without expecting something in return. Just love them for who they are. Just love people even though you disagree with them, even though you may not understand them, but yet God has helped you through the Holy Spirit to still love them. Then there's some people you like. You can't really say, we can't really say I really love them, but there are people we like. We like. Then there's some people we just tolerate. And sometimes we tolerate them because they may be a family member. Because of a relationship thing, we tolerate them. Maybe because of a position in life, we tolerate them. But the highest pinnacle for the Christian in displaying the best form of Christianity is to love people, to love the sinner, to care for people, to genuinely care and love people. And so now, that's a part of the rules. That's part of the rules of the game. We're not going to go very far as a Christian if we go through life bitter and bitter, bullheaded, unhappy, unkind, making snide remarks, real critical. We're not going to convince anybody to turn to Christ that way, are we? So you see, there's a rule in attitude. I do believe tonight that one of the best evidences of genuine Christianity is in attitude. Many people think, I'll show the world I'm a Christian by what I'm against. Some people are so known for what they're against, the problem is a lot of people don't know what they're for. So it's not necessarily what I'm against that totally defines my Christianity. It's what I'm against, what I'm for, but above all, it's my attitude and love for people. And so, that's kind of noteworthy, isn't it? I don't blame anybody for amen in that. That's something to think about there, isn't it? Attitude says it all. So there are rules. Now, all right, come back to this. I got to hurry here. If you strive for the masteries, yet you're not crowned except you strive lawfully. So strive, keep the rules. Go for the goal. Keep the rules. Keep your attitude right. Love people. Love the Lord. Care about sinners. Be kind to people around us. And so that's a part of the rule. Well, I'm just about done as I can be tonight. I'm not going to say anything else. Y'all couldn't tolerate much more anyway, could you? Based upon Father Clock there, right? So, folks, that's it. In fact, I'm not even going to have an invitation in here tonight, but I am going to give an invitation to those that might be watching that are not saved, okay? But, Brother Jimmy, you won't have to come forward tonight, but let me pray, okay? Father, if there's anybody this evening that's listening to this message that has never settled it once and for all about their soul salvation, may they realize tonight that these words of being a son, being a soldier, doesn't even apply to them. They need to, first of all, become a child of God and a son of God. So, Father, tonight, if someone's watching that's not a Christian, may they right now, through the agency of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, come to the end of themselves and call upon the Lord for salvation. Father in heaven, I pray that every one of us in this building and every Christian listening to this broadcast who maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit has said to us all, be a better son, be a better soldier, be a better athlete, Help us, Lord, to obey. Help us to give it our all. Help us, Lord, to not be satisfied with mediocrity. And then, Lord, help us to be stronger as a soldier, to train up and to draw great truths from this chapter. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God